You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Live from Studio B, it's the PM team, Ben Cherington. He is doing something. It's not a lot. It's actually, I think, a move that made the Pirates worse. Last night, he signed the bad Soto. Juan Soto in New York, he took a swing on the other Soto, Gregory Soto. That's the first move of the Pirates offseason. A one-year, $7.75 million deal. And that shouldn't move the needle for people, but it's the only thing we've got so far. And I'll start by saying this. If this is a harbinger of things to come, get ready for getting kicked in the balls over the next 2 to 3 months.
Luckily, Pirates fans have no idea what that feels like.
Malzy, as you know, I am someone with split loyalties when it comes to baseball teams. I live here, so I root for the teams here. My wife is from here. My daughter was born here. I talk sports every day here, so it would be wrong of me or asinine of me to not want our teams to do well and adopt all those teams, even though I did not grow up rooting for those teams. I did grow up rooting for the Mets. So I watched Gregory Soto pitch for the Mets in critical games last year, in high-pressure games, and he did your typical go out to the mound with a matchbook and a bottle or jug of gasoline and light himself on fire almost every time he pitched. Here's what I don't get about moves like this. Why would you just flush? And $8 million is not a lot in baseball per se, but it's not an insignificant amount of money for the Pirates.
I was going to say, for the Pirates, that is a significant sum of money for a lefty reliever.
And here's how I look at that. Like, that can be $8 million can be used as a pot sweetener to, if you're in a close negotiation with you and another team for a player, well, that $8 million can go to getting you over the hump and outbidding another team for, I don't know, a player who's actually good. Gregory Soto stinks. He was a minus war player last year. Why would you spend anything more than non-roster invitee to camp for somebody like this? It blows my mind.
He was a bad player for the Mets. He was an okay, very slightly above average pitcher for the Orioles. I am not going to sit here.
He was bad the year before for Baltimore. He had an ERA over 5.
I am not going to sit here and do Gregory Soto apologia. He is a guy who, when he was with the Mets, the batting average on balls in play was 92 points higher. He's one of those dudes where it's like, if the ball is being put in play and it's finding holes, he's going to be really bad. It's just, It's very uninspiring, and there's like a funny little bit of I'll use this word. Donnie's probably doing this hour later. Synchronicity here. Mm. You have things that appear on their face maybe to be unrelated, but to me, at least as a Pirates fan, are very related. You have another small market team in Baltimore making this monster splash deal, and then you have like a 6 degrees of separation where a guy who did play for that team last year is the Pirates' first domino to fall, Gregory Soto. The other team signed a player who's hit 50-plus bombs in a season, who does the thing, like the other small market team whose fans, I think, often get very upset with him. Jason Lockenfor's Twitter feed half the year is basically like a monument to this. They just signed a guy who does the thing fans like to watch the most, hit the ball out of the ballpark, Pony.
And the Pirates need the most.
The Pirates desperately need the most.
Yeah.
The Pirates signed if it were old rules in baseball, what would you call Gregory Soto? A loogie.
Yeah, but you can't even really do that anymore because...
No, that's what I just said. If it were baseball's old rules, you'd call him that. He can't do that now. He has to pitch.
You don't just bring him in to face Barry Bonds or David Ortiz
Let me give you my actual first reaction to this when I saw it happen, and then when I started to look around and kind of paw around the internet to see like what the cognoscenti or like just like the diehards were saying, the people who actually get into
it's a fair amount of money for a bad player.
For a guy who's a career two-win player, okay? Here's what I saw. Somebody trying to make the case, oh, yeah, don't look at his ERA. These underlying numbers are really good. Let's just take for a second that statement at face value like it's true and give it credence, even if it's not. Even in that situation that they're signing a guy who's this diamond in the rough, who's actually been overlooked by baseball, who had a hiccup bad year last year, and they're signing him for something that might even be like a fair market deal, maybe. He's a lefty reliever. And all season, all off season, we have begged for this team to add one thing. Hitting.
Yeah.
Bats. He doesn't bat. Pitchers don't bat unless they're Shohei Ohtani. And so even if you are the type of person who looks for a silver lining with anything Pirates related because it's a hope springs eternal sport, even for the hopeless teams or the seemingly hopeless, I don't know how you can, even if you think this pitcher is going to be better than everybody else, like you, like for example, you're a scarred Mets fan, think he'll be? Even if you think that Pony is being unfair to this guy as a pitcher, who cares? He's a reliever. You know what his utility to a team should be? When you have the lead in a game late, possibly because your good offense gave you the lead, in theory, he helps you keep the lead.
But he doesn't. I watched him pitch all last year.
What
I'm saying is that's what separates me from the guy that gets in the Twitter mentions of yours and says, don't look at his numbers. I actually watched the guy pitch more than anybody else here, other than evidently the people in the Pirates, probably more than them. I'm telling you, they did not want him in New York, anywhere near the mound, in a big spot last year because of how poorly he pitched.
No, I understand when he that. First, and you were the first person sounding the alarm when they traded many years ago Neil Walker for John Neese. You said John Neese sucks, I think was basically your analysis.
And I was right about that.
You're a keen observer of the Mets. My biggest issue is fundamentally whether the guy is great or whether he sucks. Obviously, it's a little easier to stomach if he ends up being good. He's not a hitter.
It's just a move that is right in line with every move they've made with Charrington as the GM in the offseason. It's a one-year deal. It's another, well, if this guy pitches his fanny off and we're 8 games out of it in July, Gregory Soto is going to get flipped for prospects to the Cubs or the Mets or the Dodgers. Well, not the Mets because of how he pitched there last year. But that's what we'll do. We'll find a home for this guy. Well, it's not just what he can do for us. We know we're actually not going to have to pay him $7.75 million. We'll only have to pay him three or four because the team we trade him to at the deadline will be on the hook for the rest of the deal. I've got articles being written by Jason Mackey about this is great news, Pirates fans. Guess what? Paul Skeens has joined the recruiting efforts. Skeens has reached out to the Pirates and said, guys, if you need me to text or make a phone call, I will. What difference is that? I love Paul Skeens. What the heck difference is that going to make?
I think he would have been more useful to them if he said, I'm going to help pass the hat to raise money to sign players at this point. Yeah, they got money talks. Guys don't care if they want to. We already have heard about what? Jorge Polanco. We heard yesterday that he wanted to play for a winner because he was trying to gas up the price for teams like the Pirates.
Yeah.
But there might be some truth to that. The only way somebody can actually use that as a weapon against you in negotiations or in the free agent world is if there's a righteous perception that you don't really have your eyes on the prize.
Or maybe Polanco's, and I find this crazy or hard to believe, but maybe it is true. Maybe Polanco's best offer right now is from the Pirates, and he's saying, please, somebody else come in and make me
save
a better offer.
Rescue me.
So I don't have to accept the Pirates offer.
I know that your focus here seems a little more granular, that this is a bad pitcher that they have signed. I find plenty of reasons to agree with your analysis. Mainly, the number one is that you are a keen observer of the Mets.
I've actually getting upset at him because he's bringing back, you know, tortured thoughts and feelings from last fall and last summer. What I really should have said immediately after saying they signed the bad Soto is this. It's another example of why I think the person who has been tasked with finding the right players for this franchise is not up to the challenge. Ben Cherington is not good at his job, right? I mean, does anybody want to refute that or argue that or debate that? He picked Paul Skeens over Dylan Cruz. Job well done. He had somebody in his organization who's left for greener pastures, I think went to Washington, make the recommendation that they should draft Connor Griffin. Awesome. Two very smart moves in the draft. Where else has he won? What else has he done since he's been here?
Did they talk to Pete Alonso at all? Were they willing to give Pete Alonso $31 million a year?
I don't think so. We have not heard anyone say anything about that.
I have a lot of issues with Ben Cherington, and he signed some horrible free agents with Boston that Noah Hyles went over. Pablo Sandoval being like an all-time hilarious one. Hanley Ramirez close behind. Sandoval's worse, but not by, you know, this is matters of degree. I think he suffers from, I don't want to call it even Neil Huntington syndrome, because I don't think Huntington did this kind of stuff as often. I think Ben Cherington, every time, wants to win the move, win the trade, win the signing, do whatever. If it's a trade, I want to give up lesser to get greater. If it's a signing, I want to prove that I am smarter than the people saying these are the guys you should look for. I'm going to find a hidden edge. Problem, he's not good at it. He sucks at it. He's really bad, independently of whatever constraints are on him, and there are many financially. He's terrible at his job. You have said often, hey, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? When I always say he's won World Series away. He won a World Series, and then he has been dog crap. And you have pointed out, well, you can't take that away from him.
Yeah, you can't.
We're far enough removed, though, where you can. Like, it doesn't stop us, and not that we're being nice to Ben Cherington. When we talk about Mike Tomlin, we rarely, if ever now, in evaluating the guy he is now as a football coach, say he won a Super Bowl in year two and got to another one. It's been too much time has passed.
Yeah.
Ben Cherington won a World Series as the GM in 2013. His entire career since has been an exercise in basically failing and then failing up or failing back into a job. He has a mandate to get offense. Everyone knows what this team is good at. Everyone knows what this team is bad at. And when the first move is a left-handed reliever who's probably not even good, I'm not sure why anybody would look at them and say, ooh, okay, serious operators now.
Your point about Alonso going to the Orioles, so the Orioles, even though they stunk last year, have proven that they can make the playoffs and win even in a tough AL East where you're competing against the likes of the Yankees, Red Sox, and even Blue Jays.
And Rays.
And Tampa. Yeah,
it's a loaded division.
Right. If you were willing to go 4 years, 120 for Schwarber, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you have been willing to go close to that? Well, what was the number on Alonso?
$155 million, $31 million a year. And he's, by the way, I think, what, 3 years younger than Schwarber.
That's what I was just about to say. Why not go 5-160 on Alonso? He's more consistent power wise. He's younger. He doesn't have to DH like Schwarber. He can play first base, which has been a power hole for the Pirates for almost 50 years now. In every season, he's hit at least 34 home runs. 53, 37, 40, 46, 34, and 38.
Do you realize, not that WAR is a be-all, end-all stat, do you realize Alonso, in a significantly shorter career, has more career WAR than Kyle Schwarber? Now, Kyle Schwarber's coming off like a folk hero season.
He's the all-time leader in home runs by the Mets, Alonso.
I'm just telling you.
He's only 30.
He's probably, by every objective measure, a better player. You mean to tell me you weren't willing to seriously bid on him? Why? He's also by the, you know what else Alonso has? And Schwarber, it doesn't matter because he's a lefty and there's a short porch.
Yeah.
Everyone always like gets into the weeds and says, hey, PNC Park is where right-handed power goes to die.
He hits opposite way.
Pony, I don't even care about that. Pete Alonso is one of the rare players who has so much raw power, I don't think PNC Park would matter.
No, but I'm saying even look at the graph.
I know, he bombs him the other way, but he also has plenty of power to hit it out to left center here.
Texas,
they weren't even in on him.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed's Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
All right, Fan Hotline's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. It's time to talk to our 93.7 The Fan MLB analyst, former big league pitcher, Matt Clement, here with us. All right, Matt, some of these names are starting to come off the board. Schwarber to Philly. Pirates reportedly made a pretty sizable offer on him. Pete Alonso today to the Orioles. What's your take?
Well, I mean, I think the effort for Schwarber was a legit effort. I know there's a lot of people are trying to say, oh, the Pirates are making sure everybody knows that to make them look good and really weren't serious. When you throw that kind of money, it looks like that they threw out there. I feel it's serious. And when you dig deeper into the Schwarber, we've discussed him, and it was kind of like a dream as a Pirate like fan that you get somebody like him. You know, getting him away from a big market team, the dude's been in the playoffs, I think, every year in his career but one. To lead a hopeful playoff team that, you know, hasn't been in the mix a while, you know, it's I don't even know if the Pirates had an offer they could have made and that could have kind of lured them away when you start to really think about it. So not surprising what's went down so far, but you know, plenty of time left, and this free agent market, kind of this has fallen to the point where somebody like the Pirates that hasn't won for a while is kind of, you know, stuck. They kind of have to go right now.
Pete Alonso reportedly 5 years, $155 million to the Orioles, who are in a much more similar market to the Pirates, Matt. And I can, I think, make the reasonable inference that the Pirates did not even remotely try to get Pete Alonso based on if they did make an effort like they did with Schwarber, we would have heard about it. And it would have, as you said, gotten out there. People would have leaked that the Pirates were a serious player here. What is your reaction to the idea that they probably didn't make any kind of serious attempt to sign a guy like that?
Well, I feel like the Pirates aren't going to get two of these guys. And the Schwarber thing kind of just, you know, it just happened. And then Alonso piggybacked off it, whether there was any initial discussion or not. And it seems like, you know, I know it feels like because the Orioles didn't have a great year last year. Like, to me, the Orioles are still a team that's in the process of being with all those young prospects they have over the last couple of years. Last year was kind of like that dud year in the middle of a team that's kind of on the up and coming and moving. So I think that, you know, Pete Alonso, it seemed like he had some people that were after him that were, you know, you're leaving the Mets. It didn't look like this was a Pete Alonso move just for money. It was a move for he still wants to compete. And again, doesn't mean the Pirates can't compete, but there just isn't a history of it there. And I think from the outside looking in, we're excited as Pirate people right now because it's a good young class. A good young staff that they're trying to add pieces to make it competitive. But from the outside looking in, it's not like, you know, a Pete Alonso is looking at this and say, oh, I could be the one piece that changes this whole Pirate thing. A lot of these younger guys are unknown how they're going to turn out.
Matt, somebody texted in an interesting thought about some of these Boris guys. Scott Boris, the biggest power broker in baseball, and he's had an adversarial relationship with the Pirates for years, dating back to some of the guys the Pirates drafted and then had a hard time signing. Someone texted in and said, might this be a better situation for them with Boris because he always directs his clients to take the most money? And if the Pirates offer $1 more than another team, he's going to push his client in that direction. Is that accurate?
I think it's accurate, but again, I don't know if it's accurate so much with somebody like Alonso or Schwarber, if that makes sense. Is it accurate with Ryan O'Hearn or Rhys Hoskins or Mike Yastrzemski? Potentially. Because those guys are still trying to get there, like, really, not some of them gotten some decent paydays, but, like, get their latest payday. So, yeah, it could be. I did read that Boris made a positive comment, I felt, like, that the Pirates were in on the Schwarber, and it's nice to have teams that aren't usually in the mix for some of the big free agents throwing their name in the ring for it. And, you know, that was at least a positive coming out of Boris's mouth.
Matt, I assume, though, despite the fact that they missed out on these two big power hitters, you still are planning the ticker tape parade because they have Gregory Soto in the fold from the Mets?
Well, I mean, we knew they needed a left hand in the bullpen. This team is going to revolve around this pitching staff. I think it's a great pickup. I know it's not moving the needle like the Pirates.
Pony, the Mets fan, Matt, as I think you know well because you know us, Pony is a Mets fan by birth. And the last time the Pirates made any kind of acquisition of a reasonably well-known Mets player in an offseason, it was Neil Walker being dealt for John Neese. Pony and I didn't work together then, but I think Pony's comment to anyone who would listen was, John Neese stinks. And unfortunately, he was proven very correct. He is not as bullish as you are, to say the least, on Soto.
I think it's just hard to say, well, this guy gets lefties out when you can't just bring in a guy to face lefties anymore with the new three batter rules that are in effect.
Yeah, I will say this, like, I can't disagree with what you're saying, honestly, but when you have very little to choose from as far as the left side in that bullpen, that is a priority to get when you're trying to win games. Like, you need that leverage guy that can, you know, hopefully do that. And I feel like I've said this all along, and hopefully it kind of flips this year, but guys, like, if we're going to, when you bring somebody here to Pittsburgh from the Mets, you're leaving leverage and pressure, and you're coming here and you kind of find your own. And baseball is all about momentum. And you come here where it's, you know, a lot of guys we brought here that came from New York in the past and kind of found themselves in their career with a little less pressure underneath them. So, like, I see the move being a move that was needed. Charrington of recent time here has been pretty good with these pitching moves and building this pitching staff. So I'm not going to kind of question that one as much as I'm more worried about what we're going to do here on the hitting front.
There's a report that Skeens talked to the Pirates higher ups and said, if you guys need me to call or text or get on the horn with these guys to recruit them on Pittsburgh, I'm willing to do that. And I said to Chris before he brought you on, that's obviously a nice noble gesture, an olive branch by Skeens, but I just don't know what kind of impact a guy saying, hey, come here and play, even if he's the greatest pitcher in the world, is going to have on a guy ultimately choosing Pittsburgh. What are your thoughts on that, Matt?
You know, with all due respect, like for me, if Skeens called me and say, hey, come join this rotation, and I'm coming because that would be awesome. But we're not worrying about joining the rotation. And I feel like, I think we've talked about this in the past, it doesn't move the needle a lot for me. It's great unless he has a relationship, like a personal relationship with one of these guys that he wants to come and play on the same team as him. I think when I look at that front of people calling or wanting to go somewhere because somebody's there, I'm more looking at it as, okay, I'm a pitcher and this team rakes and they're going to get me 6-7 runs a game and I'm used to getting no run support. I'm going to go to this team because they don't make errors. They score a ton of runs. That makes me want to go to a team more so than a pitcher calling like a hitter and saying like, hey, come save us. You know, come be that hitter. It needs to be more of a conglomerate of hitters. And again, if there's anybody to call right now in the MLB, he could be influential, but I feel like it works in the opposite way more than it works in the pitcher trying to recruit hitters. It works more to me like hitters trying to recruit pitchers to come help us.
Yeah, what would Skeens' pitch be? If the Pirates are trying to recruit a pitcher, it would be like, come here. You'll get to learn what real pressure is all about. Can you make do with one run? It's like an episode of Pawn Stars. It's the best we can do is a run.
All right, Matt. Thanks, man. We'll talk again next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
It is time to talk to our resident Penguins expert, Penguins analyst, Penguins Stanley Cup champ, Tyler Kennedy. And you can listen to him and us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, the PM team. All right, TK, game-tying goal with 0.1 seconds left last night. The Penguins had a power play and an offensive faceoff with less than 20 seconds left. How in the world do you give up a game-tying goal in that situation?
Well, I think the biggest thing was they never thought it would happen, right? And I think they let off the gas a little bit. Maybe they let their guard down a little bit because, you know, it goes around the glass, it pops out, and the guy grabs it and he kind of beats two defenders, throws it at the net, and Carlson puts it in. Obviously, it's a very fortunate bounce it goes in, right? The Penguins got their fortunate bounce with Mantha just throwing it there. Their own goalie puts it in his own net. That was their bounce. But I always, you know, at 17 minutes left or 17 seconds left, I would have thought you would have put your defensive players on the ice. Your Noah Kari, you know, guys that want to play D, doer. Then you put Graves, guys that are really trying, that aren't trying to score, that are just know how to protect the lead. And then you hear Muse after, and it was a different mindset, what he said. He wanted to put guys out there that could hang on to the puck, which is different, because I'm thinking usually when you hang on to the puck, sometimes you lose it. You know, considering if you put other guys out there like Graves, like, you know, your fourth line guys or your penalty killers, they grab the puck and they shoot it down. They don't want to hang on to it. So it's a different mentality where Muse is coming from. But again, I think it's a bad bounce. It happens, but it's costing big, big points right now.
I know that they should have had 2 points. It's a freak thing that happens, but they still could have had two if they won a shootout. But even suggesting that the Penguins would win a shootout is funny because it never actually happens, TK. Can they do an exorcism in there? I mean, anything you can think of in all seriousness once these games go to the shootout that would help them at all?
One, I just think they need to win one to get the monkey off their back. You know, I just feel like when you see the other team come down and pick up the puck, there's a confidence, there's a swagger in picking up that puck. Right now, I feel like the Penguins lost a little bit of their swagger coming down on a shootout, right? I feel like they're gripping the stick a little too much, and I think it's because they haven't won a shootout game in a long, long time. So there's always going to be that. But I think they will break through eventually in that, and it just needs one win, right? And then it kind of takes the air out of the balloon. Another thing, when I watch them come down, and this is a guy that scored 3 out of 40, you know, on shootouts, but there's no the deception in their shots and their moves is too small. It's not big enough to throw the goalie off, right? When you see Leo Carlson come in, he makes that one big move, and Arthur's already on his stomach, and he goes shelf. You know, their moves and their patience with the puck is not there right now, and I think it's because they haven't scored in a long, long time. So I think it's just practicing and practicing. I think you start looking at the elite players in the league that are very successful. Leo Carlson's one. Trevor Zegras is another one. You see Trevor Zegras pick up the puck. He's like putting on a show. Like, he's taking his time. He goes fast. He goes slow. But it's like his time to shine, you know. And they need to learn off that. And some of the things those elite guys are doing is changing speeds, right? They go really fast and they slow down. Because when a goalie loses depth, he starts thinking about that a little bit instead of just focusing on you. So there's a lot of different things you could do. But right now, I think their biggest focus is just trying to get one somehow. And then you see the guys that are going, you need to change it up every time until we get some goal scorers, right? You got to try Kindle. You got to try Dewar. You know, Dewar doesn't get very many minutes, and he's got 6 goals. He does have a scoring touch. So I just think it just takes one win and getting some different bodies in there, which happened last night. But again, it's that confidence. It's that losing that swagger because they haven't won one in a long time.
On the shootout style that you just brought up, whenever a guy has a breakaway in real life, he just goes straight at the goal. Okay, he goes north. He doesn't go east-west. So why right. is it in shootouts, and why don't more guys head of steam go right at the goal? I've never understood that.
Didn't Malkin do that against the Flyers in a game and just slap the slap one from 5 feet?
But I'm not just talking about a slap shot. When a guy's a breakaway in a game, he doesn't go east west and take his time
because they don't have time.
Well, I get that, but they score in a lot of those situations. So I don't understand that, TK.
So I love this, right? This is like what I do for a living, right? I do hockey, I teach hockey, I love this. And so when you have a guy that's got a breakaway in a game, what's he have? He always has pressure. And it's so hard when you're moving your feet 100 miles an hour for a goalie to read where you're shooting, from where the puck is in front of you or where it is behind you, where you load the puck. There's so many little things. But when you're moving your feet and shooting in stride, a goalie's got like a half a second to figure out where you're shooting. Especially, like, think of Phil Kessel, right? He'd always come down the wing, and you'd be like, how did that go in? Well, he's moving, and he doesn't have the puck on his stick. He does, like, he gives a little, it's called like a gray area. So he pushes the puck just a little bit, and when the puck is not on your blade, a goalie can't read where you're shooting. The only time a goalie can read where you're going to put that puck is when the puck is actually on your blade. So when the guys come in and they're skating, in those elite shooters, right, they can either push the puck where they do a little snapper where it's a guessing game for a goalie. Think of soccer, you know, when they run up to the ball and it's like guessing. The same thing with hockey, with the puck, and even less space. And then you think of the guys that are doing shootouts, right? Now it kind of changes their mindset because now they're trying to get the goalie to move side to side, try to get lost in that space in the net from going side to side, going forward and backwards. Those elite guys are very good at throwing those little shoulder fakes where they drop the goalie or just beating with speed. You know, there's so many things. But if you would go 100 miles an hour at the goalie in a shootout, yeah, you probably would throw him off. But if he didn't score, you'd look stupid too. And, you know, the one thing I like, love Sid, and I know Sid's going to get better because Sid is a guy that I know right now he's looking at shootouts all day today. He's a guy that cares about what he does. He wants to win. He'll do whatever it takes to win. But I think Sidney Crosby should come down and turn backwards. Listen to this one. Turn backwards with his backhand, right? As soon as a guy turns backwards, that goalie's brain is going to be in a pretzel. And then he can do whatever he wants. He can go back to forehand. But I think when you go backwards and you change it up, something the goalie's never seen before. I think you got his mind all screwed up, and then Sid can use his almost the best backhand in the world or the best backhand to ever live and go shelf with it, or he can make that fake and go wherever he wants. But again, this is one of those things that you need to practice. You need to have that swagger, and they just need one to break through. They're very close. They just need one, and obviously their goalie's got to make some saves.
Tyler Kennedy, listen to him tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. with Pomp and Joe. Thanks, TK. We'll talk next week, buddy.
Thanks, boys.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.